Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save: fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I did some research for something for today's show, and I hope you all find this to be interesting. I think you probably will. It involves Jake Fromm and DeAndre Swift and the chances that they could win the Heisman Trophy this upcoming season, but also a little twist on that. Let me start this way. If you were listening to our show yesterday, you heard an analyst that I really like, the SEC Network's Chris Doering. Now, Doering was a former Gator, and we don't hold that against him around here because we think he's good on TV, and we think his insight on the SEC is pretty fun. And you'll certainly, even if you don't like the Gators, and around here we don't, by the way, Gator Hater Update are number 1,000 coming up a bit later on in our program here today on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. But even if you don't like the former Gator, typically you like the fact that Chris Doering was on this program yesterday touting the possibility that DeAndre Swift will win the Heisman this season. I know some of you already heard this, but let me let you hear this again as a reminder to set us up for where we want to go today. Here is Doering on DeAndre Swift.
I mean, obviously, I know it's a little bit of a long shot. I know he's got a teammate that's probably more of the favorite to win the Heisman, and Jake Fromm than DeAndre Swift is. But there's something about this guy, and I know he played a lot of the first half of the year injured last year, and that hurt his numbers and his value to the team early in the season. But as he got healthier as the season wore on, you got to see a little bit more of exactly who he was. Because remember, in the season before, we were talking about a guy that was the third running back that came in most situations on third down. The reason that I have him as my Heisman, the guy that I'm cheering for to win the Heisman this year, that I think has a legitimate shot, is because he's a dual-purpose back. I mean, I know that backfield is crowded there in Athens, but this is a guy that can be your number one back. We saw his versatility in the receiving game, what he's able to do in terms of not only catching the ball out of the backfield, but lining up in the slot, moving around, and creating matchups that are advantageous in one-on-one receiving situations. So I think this is a guy, if he's healthy, he's got the ability to pick up the tough yards for you. But more importantly, he's got that breakaway speed that you need to put up big numbers and have some of those highlights that are going to garner some Heisman attention.
So Doering says that DeAndre Swift's my pick to win the Heisman because he's going to be fully healthy this year, because he's the extra dimension of also being able to catch the football. And Doering, at the end of that clip, I think says something really interesting, that what Swift is going to be able to provide that's really going to potentially catapult his Heisman campaign are those highlights. And I think in this day and age, a highlight's probably worth more than a stat. You know, it used to be when people got their information from college football by waking up, reading the box scores on Sunday morning, that's how you determine who the best players are. But we live in kind of a video age now where it's those Twitter highlight videos that get shared, or the people who still watch on those late night shows on ESPN. It's really that kind of thing that ends up being the catalyst for your Heisman campaign more than anything else. So because of the fact that, and Doering also pointed this out, because of the fact that Swift's going to share some carries with Zamir White, he's going to share some carries probably with Brian Herring, I believe. James Cook factors in this discussion a bit as well. That might artificially depress Swift's numbers just a bit because he is sharing carries in a way that Jonathan Taylor certainly will not be at Wisconsin, and possibly even Travis Etienne not at Clemson. DeAndre Swift's just going to share the ball a little bit more, which is going to mean he's going to have maybe fewer carries. But Chris Doering says, yeah, but what about those highlight plays? He's not going to have any shortage of those, and that ultimately may be what is the real springboard for his Heisman campaign. I think that's really interesting. But in that same clip, you also heard Chris Doering say, now I realize there's another player on this team, Jake Fromm, that's also in this discussion, and given the fact that he's a quarterback, he may even be more in this discussion than the running back is. I'm going to make my case for Swift, Doering says, but I'm also very well aware of Jake Fromm as well. Now, it's interesting to point out that also this week here on Dog Nation Daily, you've heard another big-time college football analyst, ESPN's Kirk Herbstreit, go on TV, not so much make the case that Fromm's going to win the Heisman Trophy, but given where his odds are, somewhere around that like 14-1 mark, somewhere like that, depending on where you may be shopping around to see these odds, given those odds, Kirk Herbstreit certainly thinks that Jake Fromm's potentially a smart bet. Here is what Herbstreit said about Fromm.
I think Georgia has a chance to have a magical year. Arguably the best leader in the country is Jake Fromm, the quarterback at Georgia. So I know he hasn't put up big numbers up to this point in his career, But I do think that his steady hand and his leadership and Georgia winning week after week after week, don't be shocked you get to November and Jake Fromm's a name that a lot of people will be talking about.
So Herb Street touts Fromm, Doering touts DeAndre Swift, and I find myself always the greedy guy here. What do you say, GIF or JIF, however you pronounce that? You know the one where the little girl says, why not both? I guess I'm kind of asking that question today. What are the chances that Georgia could have two guys, not Heisman finalists necessarily, but what if Georgia could have two guys finish in the top 10 of voting this season? I hope you find this to be interesting, because I did. I did this research for something I was going to try to do for like a written piece, but the honest truth is it just doesn't really fit with what I'm writing, so I'm not going to be able to use it for that. So let me try to give this to you right now. The chances of Georgia doing this might be a little better than you might think. It's actually happened 9 times in the college football playoff era, which stretches the last 5 years, and then the BCS era before that, stretching back to 1998. There have actually been 9 instances when the same team had two players that finished in the top 10 of Heisman voting. I'm going to rattle through this kind of quickly here. Alabama had 2 last year. It was Quinnen Williams and Tua Tagovailoa. Oklahoma had 2 in 2016. Go back to 2010. Now, I didn't have any memory of this. Andrew Luck, the quarterback, and Owen, is it Maricich? Is that how you say the name? Maricich, who was a two-way player. I have no memory of him at all, but they did that in 2010. Texas Tech, you'll remember Graham Harrell and the really good wide receiver Michael Crabtree. They did that in 2008. And then some pretty memorable groups here. Bush and Leinart in 2005. They were first and third in the voting, which is actually amazing if you think about it. In 2004, there were 2 instances. There was Adrian Peterson, Jason White from Oklahoma, and then J.J. Arrington, a running back, and Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback from Cal. You had Leinart and Mike Williams, the quarterback wide receiver combo in 2003 for USC. You had Willis McGahee and Ken Dorsey in 2002 for Miami. And it was Ken Dorsey the year before that along the offensive lineman Brian McKinney in 2001. That was an offensive lineman. So actually, based on that number, now, it might seem more likely than you might think. 9 instances going back to the start of the BCS era in 1998, or actually stretching back to 2001, which was the first time in the BCS era that occurred. 9 instances of that having happened. Not a ton, though, of examples of quarterbacks and running backs doing this together. Only one example of that. That would have been Bush and Leinart, who finished first and third, as I said, in 2005. But here's the really weird thing about this, and I will admit something. Ultimately, the reason why I decided not to include these stats in the written piece that I'm working on right now as part of our Own the East series presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union for DogNation.com. After doing all this research, you know how you kind of start with like a hypothesis? You know, you assume something's going to be true, and then you measure it to see if it actually is true. So I started with the hypothesis of, wow, if Georgia could have 2 Heisman contenders this season, that'd be a rock-solid guarantee this team's going to win the national championship. But you know what's really weird? Actually, of all those instances I just gave you, 9 times since 2001 where you've had 2 players in the same team finish in the top 10 of Heisman voting, only 2 of those 9 won the national championship. Now, a lot of teams came close. 2002 Miami, for instance, 2005 USC, they came close. Alabama lost in the championship game. So if you're talking about being a playoff team or a playoff caliber team, having 2 Heisman Trophy contenders is certainly really valuable. But in terms of actually guaranteeing a national championship, I was actually kind of disappointed to find out that having 2 guys that close to the award hasn't done more to actually guarantee you win a national championship. So what do you do with all this? I'm actually not really sure. I just think it's more interesting than important. I do think there's a chance, though, that both DeAndre Swift and Jake Fromm, based on the conversation that's already been generated during the offseason, could be a hot topic for this award as we head towards November and December when the votes are finally tabulated. And we shall see if it does occur for both Fromm and Swift, if it works out a little better for Georgia towards a national championship than it has for some of the teams that have been in this position in the past. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Kroger, and glad to have you with us, no matter how you get to us, as I like to say, live on video, 10 a.m. Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Now, let me also, as I said before, give a huge thanks to Kroger for making this all possible. And did you know that right now Kroger's got a baby event going on? You can buy $40 and then save $10 instantly on participating mix-and-match items, including diapers, wipes, formula, and more. Now, I am kind of out of the diapers phase. My youngest child is now 4. She's getting ready to start pre-K, so we're kind of out of the diapers thing now. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, diapers, wipes, and formula, y'all, that's expensive. So if you get a chance to save $10 instantly when you buy 40, this is Kroger doing a huge, huge service to the folks in its customers here, and I'm really grateful for that. And if you're buying that baby stuff, you know good and well how nice it is to be able to save. So check out your local Atlanta Kroger for a whole lot more on that. While I've got your attention, let me also talk to you about Dog Nation Days of Summer. We are now less than a week away. Thursday, August 1st, Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. I also got yelled at this morning because I've been pitching those extra VIP deals. You know, if you're not staying with us, I said, hey, we got a little bit of space left. Hit us up with our email, and we may make some room for you. Well, apparently we've been inundated on that, and now I've been told under no certain terms, the VIP reception at 5 p.m. is completely tight as a drum, totally sold out. So I tried to get some more in for today's show, and I got the Heisman straight to my face, stiff arm, about doing any more of those. We are completely sold out of the VIP, but the good news, though, is you can still book a room and be with us there that night, or you can, if you're in the North Georgia area, just drive over and see us for the big event that night that starts at 6 p.m. The following morning, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Daily Live as well from Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. It's a great chance to be with us. I'd love to see you as a part of Dog Nation Days of Summer next Thursday, stretching over into Friday. We're going to be playing some golf there as well on the beautiful golf course, and that's going to be a ton of fun. Speaking of golf, you also may have heard me earlier this week. I did a little bit of a golf giveaway. Let me announce the winner of this. Really excited to be able to say this, because in connection to what we're doing at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa on Thursday and Friday, we roll right into the weekend where there's an incredible golf tournament that's going to be going on there as a part of that. Can I show the winner here and congratulate? It's the Swing for the Kids Golf Tournament. It's August 2nd and 3rd at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. It's hosted by Christ Starfish Foundation, an incredible organization doing some great work. And we gave away a foursome for this tournament earlier this week. So congratulations to Kip Matabai for being our big winner on that. Kip, congratulations to you. Now, if you'd like to be in this tournament at this beautiful course, oh, spend the weekend there at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, that's never a bad thing. Can I see those two email addresses one more time to give a little bit of a shout out there? You can get in touch with this tournament one of two ways. Either reach out to hcarter@coralhospitality.com. For those of you listening, that's C-O-R-A-L, hcarter@coralhospitality.com, or it may just be simple to go to dognationhelp@gmail.com to find out more information about the Swing for the Kids golf tournament taking place August 2nd and 3rd at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. This is a celebrity golf tournament, so there are former NBA guys, a lot of former professional athletes, some of the people that you've grown up watching on TV, they're a part of this. It's going to be a really fun event. I can't wait for all of you who are going to be a part of that to enjoy that and let us know how much fun you've had. It's going to be just great to be at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa next weekend. All right, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, before we talk live to a Jeff Centel here, let's get a little bit of a preview of our conversation with him as we go around the doghouse, which is presented today by our friends at Meriwether and Tharp. And by now you know what the topic at hand is when it comes to UGA recruiting. It is two things, really. It's Kendall Milton on Monday, but immediately, our immediate attention may be very well on the upcoming list of visitors for Georgia this weekend. And y'all, I've been following this stuff as a fan closely for a long time, and I reckon, I don't know, I've seen too many recruiting weekends at Georgia where, based on the hard work of a guy like Jeff Centel, this many A-list names have been confirmed to be in attendance. Now, Jeff has written about this at DogNation.com and on the forum at forum.dognation.com. I'll invite you to follow along with him there. But let me just rattle off a few of these names who've already been confirmed. Jordan Birch, amazing. Darnell Washington, another five-star. Broderick Jones, the UGA commit. Interesting that he's coming because of the fact we don't see him out in public a whole lot. Recent commit, Marcus Roseme. Jalen Kimber, the defensive back who made a big name for himself at the opening. Carson Beck's going to be on hand to kind of work on some of these uncommitted players who are going to be in the building. You got Nazir Stackhouse, the UGA commit, Corey Wren, a UGA commit. Then you get to some of these other big names like Zachary Evans, who I think may be the headliner here just because of the fact that recruitment's so contested right now. We'll obviously talk a whole lot more about that with Jeff in a moment. Then you get back to more UGA commits like Mikal Sherman and Tate Ratledge and Jalen Carter. The Cedric Van Praan visit is one that we've paid a lot of attention to for obvious reasons. That's a big chance to impress. Arian Smith, the wide receiver, recently named George as a finalist. Some people wonder if he could be on commit watch, worth paying attention to. Then you get to the Justin Robinson, a UGA commit, and Brady Ward, the offensive lineman who's kind of popped on the scene as of late. It is just a major, major recruiting weekend, and it's going to be fun to talk to Jeff Sintel about that.
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me off the top here?
Yeah, that's exactly how exciting I thought that was, coming back to a Wednesday before the Hedges presented by Kroger. Good job by Connor Riley for playing that, and I'm sure many of you have the same kind of reaction. But before we get to Jeff Sintel on all that, let me remind you that Around the Doghouse is presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp, and I know you know the divorce process can be scary and confusing. You've got a lot of questions about not just your future, but your family's future as well. Can things be made right again? You shouldn't have to go through this alone, and Merriweather and Tharp wants to make sure you don't have to. They've been through this kind of thing thousands of times. They also offer a ton of free resources to kind of get you started in that process, whether it be online blog posts or podcasts, a number of things like that. They're also able to offer you a free initial consultation as well to kind of get that conversation started. So my advice to you would be to check them out right now if you find yourself in this position. Certainly my heart goes out to you if you are in this tough spot, but let me do what I think is a solid for you by getting you in touch with someone who's going to be an advocate for you and stand right there by your side. My friends at Merriweather and Tharp, find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, great to have you with us here. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today. For more on everything going down this weekend, let's talk to our buddy Jeff Sintel.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Yes, indeed. As you heard from Connor Riley a moment ago, the last time that Jeff and I were together, he did elicit quite the response from me. I guess before we say hello to Jeff Sintel, I guess let's go ahead and give the people what they want, which is one more time to hear this gurgle and gargle from me about the recruiting news of the day. Connor, can we hear that one more time?
Oh, wow. Are you kidding me off the top here?
So for the people who may have missed, before the Hedges presented by Kroger on Wednesday, that was in reference to Jeff dropping the bomb that he was able to unearth the fact that Jordan Birch was at least stopping by the big recruiting weekend for Georgia, the five-star defensive lineman, and that Zachary Evans, the five-star running back, coming over from Houston, Texas to be a part of the festivities as well. So, Jeff, I guess by way of saying good morning to you, I will ask, do you have any more news that might get me as flummoxed as that one got me this past Wednesday?
Wow, man. I don't know, Brandon. That's probably rare air for you right now. I'm sitting here, you know, putting the creative team in the back left half of my brain on work here to come up with the name for that. And I keep coming back to not a chortle, but a bortle, which is a Brandon Adams chortle. I mean, I guess I should say, Brandon, Brian Brzee, Herschel Walker Jr., Champ Bailey Jr., and let me see who else I could throw on that list. Maybe another five-star wide receiver, Julian Fleming. I threw those names on the list. That would probably be the only thing that would desensitize you to come up with something greater than that vocal range, those octaves you hit when you saw that list on Wednesday afternoon, sir.
And I'll tell you, you know, two things about that. Obviously, people know that I cheer for George. I want George to get the best, you know, recruits that it can get. But a reaction from me towards that news isn't just about that. And I think, Jeff, you understand this probably as well as anybody could. I am fascinated by recruiting soap operas. And you look at the Zachary Evans soap opera for a moment, where at one point in time, the chances of Georgia getting Evans seemed really, really high. And then he starts talking to the A&Ms and the Longhorns, and all of a sudden, maybe those chances don't seem quite so great again. And then to have the plot twist of, well, now he's coming back to Georgia after all this flirting with the in-state schools, that's just a fun soap opera storyline, even if it doesn't lead to good news for the good good guys. Just a fun soap opera storyline. The same thing for Jordan Birch as well. He's in Columbia. Hard to get a player from South Carolina's backyard, but maybe Clemson. And now, ooh, maybe it's Georgia as well. Ultimately, even wherever Birch goes, I'm kind of addicted to the soap opera as much as I am the notion of Georgia getting the best possible players he can get. It's just interesting news to watch unfold, and in a lot of ways, that's what this weekend is. Either the culmination of some interesting news or the next step in what is a very thick plot.
Yeah, and sometimes when there are conversations and interactions, I try to play certain shots out of the bag, so to speak. So let me throw another five-star chip on the table. You know, this might not be enough to blow your skirt really way up, but the five-star count now is up to 11.
Ooh,
for
nice.
This weekend, sir. It is only a mere five-star defensive tackle in the 2021 class, a gentleman by the name of Lee Hunter out of 8 Mile, Alabama. 2021 five-star moves the total north. This feels like Bob Barker in one of those Price is Right games, higher, lower, higher, lower. The number is now 11. Lee Hunter, and a definite position that folks like to hear about would be defensive tackles making their way to visit the University of Georgia.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's also interesting. I will admit I am kind of fixated on the 2020 class for right now, but Connor Riley, one of our producers, and I were talking about this before the show. Some of this 2021 stuff is starting to kind of come together a little bit, and some of this stuff is kind of falling into place where we were kind of absent 2021 storylines, at least seemingly publicly, for a little while here, and all of a sudden, with some of the names we're starting to hear a little bit more, and some of the guys are going to be there this weekend, some of that 2021 stuff is kind of starting to make a little more sense and fall into place, and you can see some real current starting to get cut here, which is kind of a fun thing to think about. But let me push that aside for a moment, and let me run something back that you and I have talked about before, and I think did this as part of Before the Hedge is presented by Kroger. And here is what I think from a strategic spot is an important question for Georgia to answer. And I alluded to this as part of our program yesterday. Given the fact that Georgia is in a knockdown dragout with Alabama and Clemson right now to win a national championship, you've got to pull out all the stops in recruiting, which likely means you're willing to go down to the wire with Zachary Evans, even if you feel that that's a really tough recruiting battle to win. And I think it is just a really tough recruiting battle to win because of the in-state pull, because of the fact that based on what I think I understand publicly about Evans, he's a little bit of a difficult prospect to predict in terms of how he's going to, you know, act and how he's going to feel from kind of one day to the next. Sometimes it doesn't always work out the way that you think it might in some respects. It's a tough, contested, challenged recruitment. The Tank Bigsby thing, because he's an in-state running back, might seemingly be a little easier. As a prospect, he's not really all that, given the fact we're talking about thousands of players across the country. Bigsby isn't rated all that lower necessarily than Zachary Evans, but based on what Georgia's apparently planning on doing this weekend, it's in it for Evans first to see what he's going to do, and then maybe circling back to Bigsby after that. Is that the right strategy for Georgia, Jeff, from your perspective?
Yeah, you know, Brendan, what drifts through my mind as you're outlining all that is, you know, it's something we all learned from one of the greatest stories of our time, Brendan, and I'm talking about the 10 Cup Classic with Kevin Costner and Don Johnson. And walk with me down the road here for a little bit, because when you need to win the tournament, so to speak, and by no means am I calling Tank Bigsby a layup player. By no means. I think he is going to be a future All-SEC back. But when you're trying to win the tournament and you need a birdie on a hole, you go for the green. And the quite seamless parallel I can say is you're trying to beat Clemson. You're trying to beat Alabama. You're trying to beat LSU down the road. You're trying to beat Ohio State. And to do that, you need to bring in players that you feel are the All-American player. And the guy that, you know, we outlined this on the forum, there's differences between some of these backs. And Zach Evans is 200 pounds, he's 5'11", and yet he runs the short shuttle drill in 3.83 seconds. And Tank Bigsby, for all of his greatness, he runs the short shuttle drill in 4.3 seconds. So I'll hearken upon another movie, Al Pacino. The inches we need are all around us. Well, those inches are going to be important in a big game. And the ground that an Evans could potentially cover to get away from a Bama linebacker or an Ohio State linebacker to be what turns a 15-yard gain into a 50-yard gain. And I just feel, and this is the one thing I don't think people, they're a little gun-shy. And this staff, if it's shown us anything, they can pull a Clay Webb. They can pull a George Pickens. They can pull a Jamari Sauer. They can pull a Cade Mays. They can do Jacoby. I mean, they can do whatever they want right now nationally across the country. And I'm just going to ask this simple thing, Brandon. Why does everyone worry about high-stakes poker with Zachary Evans and the late flip, early commitment late flip, maybe John Emery Jr. Part 2.0? But then when it thinks about Marshawn Lloyd and Tank Bigsby, why do folks not have a certain measure of confidence that should flips start happening, that Georgia can't go back and get one of those young men as well?
Well, I mean, I think you alluded to it, and I'm not saying this is the reason. I'm not saying this is the correct logic. I'm just saying this is the logic that UGA fans are using, is that the attempt to try that last year just failed. Georgia was on the hook with John Emery Jr. He changed his mind. At the last minute, Georgia thought it had a good shot at Trey Sanders. That didn't work out. I don't really know what the relationship with Georgia and Noah Kane was really like, but he kind of got away too. That's not to disrespect Kenny McIntosh, who I think is a really good-looking, interesting running back prospect, but there were also other running backs beyond McIntosh that Georgia was in the conversation with, and it just didn't succeed at doing that a year ago. Now, I'm not telling you that ought to dominate the thoughts of Georgia fans, and I'm more likely to agree with you that Georgia swims in deep enough waters that it can navigate this situation. But the reason why there is some trepidation, I believe, on the part of some fans is because that strategy you just described failed a year ago.
Well, and I here's how I view it. Everybody can, you know, look at the green and read the putt any way they want to here. But for me, Joe McGee at running back at Georgia has been almost a pristine mint condition reputation. John Emery Jr. was the player that they had in the fold, and then they lost him due to extreme interest and home state pulls, family pulls with John Emery and LSU. I do feel if Elijah Holyfield wouldn't have been waffling late about pro or college, stay or go, if there had been a more clear line in the sand where Elijah was telling the staff so the staff could tell Trey Sanders and Noah Kane that, yeah, I'm going to go to the NFL. I think one of those two names might have ended up in a different recruiting class than the ones that they're going to have a great football career in right now. I think, Brandon, ultimately, you've got to look at your room and you've got to sit there and think, what is 2020 going to be like? Do we feel confident that what Zamir White's going to do? Do we feel confident in what James Cook can bring to the table? Does the staff feel confident in what Kenny McIntosh can be at Georgia in his second season? Do they feel confident that one or two of those four names are going to eventually be Bulldogs in the 2020 class? If so, then you go for the players that you feel are the best players in the country. And at running back, Georgia can definitely do this. I mean, I think this would be – this adds confidence to the play here for the red and black's position in my mind, that they're going after a running back. And they can sell DeAndre Swift likely gone. Brian Herrien is going to be gone. And then they can sell that offensive line and the reputation at the running back position at the University of Georgia. Very deep water, sir. I mean, you're gonna need some Baywatch lifeguards to figure this stuff out if it doesn't go right. But the beauty of this is if it goes Georgia's way, dream scenario, I think, let's all be clear, I think the dream scenario probably would be Zachary Evans and Kendall Milton. The worst case scenario might be you only get one of those guys. 2021 looks a lot better. And everything in between those two poles I just described is great for the running back room at the University of Georgia.
So I promise I don't want to talk about this subject the entire time, and I'm also going to try not to keep you for half an hour, which I've kind of done seemingly the last two or three times you've been on the show with us. So let me just kind of give you my final thought on all of this. I think everything you say there makes a ton of sense. And I will tell you, speaking from the perspective of a fan, I'd pop champagne corks if Zachary Evans and Kendall Milton were the tandem for Georgia. I'm going to operate on the assumption of Milton for a moment, although obviously Monday will bring its own drama, which we will discuss here in a moment. But let me just, for the sake of conversation, include Milton as one of these running backs. Milton Evans would get me popping champagne corks. Bigsby and Milton would get me popping champagne corks. I'm sort of okay with the strategy of going after Evans first because of the way in which you just described him a moment ago. I think that makes all the sense in the world. However, here is the flip side of that, Jeff. If I think about also from the perspective of a fan, what would be more painful for me to endure? One day, Zachary Evans scoring a touchdown against Georgia in an SEC championship game playing for Texas A&M, or Tank Bigsby scoring a touchdown against Georgia playing for Auburn. I got to tell you something. The far more painful scenario would be the thought of Bigsby going somewhere else and one day doing harm to UGA. That's probably not the right way to think about this, but that is certainly the least pleasant of those two scenarios. Evans playing somewhere else and being a thorn to Georgia compared to Bigsby playing somewhere else and being a thorn to Georgia. There'd be a lot of UGA fans that would not like that at all.
Well, I can sense that, and I can see that, but it's quite all right if Tank Bigsby scores a touchdown against Georgia in a big SEC game if that's the first touchdown of the game and it's 35-7 in the fourth quarter, right? That'll be okay, right?
Yeah, that'd be okay, I guess, probably. That'd be okay, I guess. And, you know, it's a fun thing to debate and think about, and I've enjoyed your coverage of all this kind of along the way. Let me mention a couple of these other names here real quick that we probably legitimately haven't talked enough about. I'm going to push Birch aside for a moment because you know how I feel about that. I'm glad that Georgia gets a shot at him this weekend, even if it's only for a brief window on this. But how about the Darnell Washington part of this? My understanding is this is and you can correct me if I'm wrong, this is not a brief stopover. This is a guy leaving Nevada coming for, I'm assuming here a couple of days, he's going to get, you know, a pretty good feel of Georgia here this week. And I've obviously fixated on the in-state name and what might be going on with a Rick Gilbert. But, gosh, Jeff, Washington's a big-time player. And the fact that Georgia gets him on campus, that is a pretty significant coup that at least here on Dog Nation Daily, we probably haven't given enough attention to. Is that correct?
Yeah. One of the things I try to do, Brandon, with my work is I try to bring a lot of perspective to all of these names and all these stars in the sky, so to speak. So here we've reached a point in our conversation, and this should show a little bit of the depth of Georgia football recruiting in this weekend in general. Darnell Washington, my friend, is the number 10 overall player in the country. And he is a subplot a little bit? He is a strong supporting character, like a Tarantino supporting character in this recruiting drama this weekend. Where else in the world can Darnell Washington not get top billing or be the headliner for a recruiting weekend like this where Georgia still plans to host Keely Ringo, still plans to host Jordan Birch, still plans to host Zachary Evans? And that just shows the power of what this program can do. And I also want to say this, you know, and about all this, here's the single biggest granular takeaway for me. It's not that there'll be 11 five-stars in town this week. And it is even not that only three of those five stars count in 2021. Only three of those five stars are in-state prospects. Mm-hmm. It is also that everyone is coming into town and they are doing so on unofficial visits. That's their own dime.
Yeah.
And that usually means that the official visit where everything's going to get, everybody's going to start thinking about walking down the aisle together. That's going to come later for the official visit where the finality thought, is this the place thought going to happen? And with Washington, I think there's three clear tight ends for Georgia. I feel that the staff would be happy if they would be popping champagne, to use a Brandon analogy, or they would be chortling like Brandon if they get any two of those three, which would be Theo Johnson. We wrote about him a lot this week.
Yep.
That was the reason why we wrote about him a lot this week.
Yep.
We wrote about Darnell Washington a lot. We've written about Eric Gilbert, of course, a lot. His traffic plan does not currently plan to intersect in Athens, Georgia this weekend. So Darnell, 6'7" My favorite highlight of him, besides the fact that he punts for his high school team as well, besides the fact that he goes up and gets balls, or one time he caught a pass, brought it down, and it took five guys to bring him down, even though that the safeties were behind him, the linebackers were in front of him. They all converged, and then he just was still open at about 11 feet up in the air. He makes a play on the defensive line. He's playing a three-tech at 6'7", 255, and he forces a fumble, picks up the ball, starts running with it, and then everybody jumps on his back like grandma and a grandfather piano and a huge, you know, grandfather clock. And then he just pitches the ball to a teammate, a one-handed pitch, and then the guy rumbles all the way in there for a touchdown. It's impressive. He's a guy that goes, he chortles. When you see him coming off the bus, he chortles. So with, I think I've used that one enough today, but he's the guy, number one athlete in the country, and he is taking another measured trip to Georgia, which sets up his official visit, which is currently planned for the Notre Dame game.
You mentioned Ringo a moment ago, Keely Ringo, the five-star cornerback. Jeff, here's what's on my mind about him. MJ Sherman's going to be in Athens this weekend. Carson Beck's going to be in Athens. Tate Ratledge is going to be in Athens. A lot of those guys are pretty persuasive, and seemingly they've all created a pretty good relationship in terms of the kind of family vibe for this 2020 class. I think a lot of Georgia fans have confidence in Ringo, but also know that they're going to be forced to play the waiting game because Ringo seems content to have kind of a traditional recruitment where there are official visits and there are announced finalists, which has kind of already taken place, and then TV ceremony for the ultimate decision at one of these all-star games. And I apologize for not knowing if he's an Under Armour guy or a San Antonio guy, but one way or another, Ringo wants to do this the way that he's seen guys do this in years past. Is there a chance, though, that a barbecue just tastes a little too good this week and the laughs are coming a little too free and Ringo decides, you know, maybe let's stop playing games with this thing? Is there a scenario by which that might happen, or is he just too comfortable with the timeline he's established to get too crazy with the emotions this week?
I think it's the latter, and he's at the prospect stage where he's deserved to do everything in his own walk, in his own way. Much like Cedric Von Prawn, these guys have, when they're ninth and tenth graders and they're dreaming about what they want to go, and they've watched other guys on TV, and they pointed to that TV, and they say, that's going to be me one day. And somehow that's the impetus for them to reach where they're at now in their careers. Doesn't matter how good the barbecue is, Brandon. I mean, is there ever going to be any barbecue good enough for you to say go Gators or something like that?
Yeah.
It's just kind of like they're wired the way they want this to go down. And with Mr. Ringo, I think with all due respect, we've got to just inform folks of what has happened so far in his recruiting. He was at Georgia in early January for a junior day that went smashingly well, had family in town. He came back to Georgia at least the next time for G-Day. That one went very well as well. Everybody saw the pictures of all the constellation of five-star recruits and elite prospects hanging together on the sidelines. He came back to Georgia for the scavenger hunt. Everybody knows about Sunshine and the Python and those pictures there. But then he comes back to Georgia. We can go anywhere else in the country, including nearby Texas, and Austin is a wonderful place that has tremendous starred animal flesh as well this weekend. He's back at Georgia again, and those are at least four visits within 7 months to the University of Georgia. And I think that puts Georgia right where it needs to be with this recruitment whenever he decides he wants to make this decision public to the world.
Yeah, I think that's well said. All right, two very quick things here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger. I want to finish with Milton, a preview of Monday for him. But before I close the book completely on this weekend, is there anything else that you want us to know, feel like maybe we haven't talked enough about? Before you came on, I showed the audience your list of visitors, and we kind of rattled through those names. And yeah, for those watching on video, you see that again. This is at least just the 2020 names we've kind of focused on here, but I'll even open this up for 2021 if you'd like to. Any kind of short bullet point narrative that you want to kind of get out there before dog fans kind of digest some of this? Anything we need to know that we haven't talked about?
Let me see how coy and cryptic I can be. I think, first of all, that the 2021, let me just go through some easy things there. You see the two in-state products right there, and Amarius Mims, and you see Micah Morris.
Yep.
So Georgia doesn't have a 2021 yet. This is in Kirby Smart's era at Georgia, this is the closest to the next year's recruiting cycle that Georgia has gone by far. I think it's about 7 or 8 months by now, without having a 2021 recruit. Now, I think that's done so with a reason. I think Kirby Smart, like he said in a Hoover at SEC Media Day, really wants to take things slower on the recruiting trail, especially with evaluations, early evaluations. So I think 2021 is a big storyline. Does Georgia get a 2021? Does Georgia maybe put really good traction and get one of those strong chokeholds on the core of its 2021 class? With a guy like Mims, with a guy like Morris, but also James Williams. Now, there's going to be be a time when you guys want to read something really cool about James Williams on DogNation.com. He's a 6'5", 218-pound safety, the number 7 overall prospect in the country for 2021. And Georgia is right in that thing, too, there with James Williams. Now, he wants to take his thing, his race a little bit longer, especially after he's decommitted from Miami and wants to take a good long look at everything. But the staff really likes him, and he really likes Georgia. The staff even makes comparisons to Sean Taylor, the way he plays the game of football. There's a lot of strong character leader elements to James Williams' game. One other thing on 2021, Corey Foreman. Now, he is intrigued by the thought of playing with Nolan Smith, somehow all the way out in California. Doesn't know a lot about Georgia yet. That needs to change this weekend. But he does know, and this is how recruiting continues to sell itself, when the nation's number one overall player chooses Georgia, and Nolan plays the same position that a Corey Foreman does, way out in California, that draws eyes, and he takes notice of that. May not know a lot about Georgia, but he knows the number one player in the country whose film he really likes, and he recognizes that guy has true ability. He chose Georgia for a reason, and that makes a guy like Corey Foreman want to choose Georgia for a reason. So Georgia's going to have an impressive back-to-back here where Corey Foreman has left Clemson. He's got that visit high all over it. He's been on the slide. He's probably tasted some of the finest food plates that Dabo Sweeney has to offer. He has hung out the bowling alley, probably saw it all, saw those first-round draft picks, or the whole defensive line got drafted by the NFL, pictures splashed all over the facility, and now Georgia's got to sit there and come with a counter. How can Georgia compete with a Clemson for a kid from California? And this is very, you know, 3D, interdimensional, time vector warp, Super Mario warp Brothers world, warp zone chess. But that's the game Georgia's in right now. The last thing I'll say here among the storylines that pop to me is I don't think the 2020 offensive line recruiting class is done yet. Ooh. And I don't think it's done with just the name Cedric Von Prawn.
Ooh, that's interesting. Are we talking about getting – I'm going to take the bait on this, Jeff. Are we talking about getting back involved, Georgia, with a Chad Lindberg here, a name that's come up on Dog Nation Daily and Before the Hedges, presented by Kroger, and, you know, your stuff before? Or is this one of those new names like the young three-star that we have addressed a couple times? I mean, which direction do you see Georgia more likely to go in if there's a name in what Georgia fans hope is in addition to Von Prawn that joins this group?
Well, Von Prawn, again, he's one that Georgia will have to seal the deal with down the road because he's a January 2nd announcement.
Yeah.
But I think there are more names to talk about here, and I think there's more roads to go down than just one or two here. I think what happened clearly is this staff knew its options and it knew its board, especially on the offensive line. And after Andrew Rain made his decision, I think the staff started making moves to say, who's the next guy on this board, and where do we need to go from here? And I think that's what's been happening.
You think there's a chance that one of those phone calls is to Justin Rogers? Are you sure you want to go play defensive line for 5-7 team? Or would you like to come here and become a 10-year pro as an offensive guard with a coach that can get you there? Is there a chance that one of those phone calls might go down?
I don't think that's a phone call you make if you hope to beat Clemson two times out of the next three times you face them.
I don't think
that's a call you make.
Okay. All right. Well, that's very, very interesting.
I think if you're going to play Clemson and you're going to play for the biggest things and the biggest ring, I don't think you go down your board for Justin Rogers for something like that. Now, there's always the possibility of an 11th-hour flip in a worst-case scenario, but I think Georgia feels pretty good about where it's going at the offensive line spot in a couple of ways beyond Cedric Von Prawn.
All right, I've kept you very, very long after telling you I was not going to, so I got to do this before we go. Monday's a big day for Georgia fans on Pins and Needles for 5-star running back Kendall Milton. Jeff, by now, I'm not sure what's left to be said about Milton. We've covered him so much. Me, you know, you, just, you know, we just talk about him so much, and I think that's for good reason. I just really, really like this prospect, Jeff, and I think he's a very interesting guy. I think he's a terrific player. I think he's a future face for the program. You can put this on you can put him on billboards. You can put him on media guides and tickets and programs and kind of everything else. But obviously, he's got to commit to Georgia and get here before any of that goes down. So with that in mind, give me a little bit of a preview of what the next few days might be like heading towards Milton's big announcement on Monday night.
Yeah, I would expect it to come not early, especially because of the time zone difference. I would expect it to come later in the day on Monday the 29th. I would expect most of Dog Nation to be on pins and needles about that. I would imagine, Brandon, you would equate not getting Kendall Milton, because I'm sure you look at the online chatter and see 75% of the crystal balls are pointing to Georgia at this time. I'm sure you would look at that, and maybe the opposite of the chortle would happen if somehow Alabama or LSU pulls Kendall Milton really late here on Monday.
Yeah.
It's one of those names that Georgia has to get, in my opinion, in order to sign the best possible 2020 class it can. The running back needs, I think we talked about them up and down earlier in our segment here, but I think Kendall Milton is somebody that Georgia fans are clearly waiting with bated breath on to see if he does, in fact, choose the Bulldogs.
Well, it's going to be fun, Jeff. Can't wait for it to all go down, and can't wait to talk to you about all this back here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, again next week. Thanks for spending so much time with us on a Friday. It's fun to kick this kind of stuff around with you. Certainly appreciate that. And we'll look forward to reading you. Forum at forum.dognation.com, on the site at dognation.com. And, of course, I'm going to see if I can drag you back here on this show again sometime pretty soon. We'll talk some more about all this stuff as well.
All right, guys. Hey, I got one simple, maybe public service announcement on behalf of Team Centel here.
All right.
I would like to wish my bride, Erin Centel, a most happy anniversary today. That's 16 years for us.
How about that?
Without going too crazy on this one, because I do tend to rabble on things that are important, I'll just say that this lady, a lot of times she gives me that look. She sometimes has said, what I do is like a doctor. I'm always working. She always comes up into my home office and says, are you still writing? And she's always shown just grace, poise, class every time, as much as that might be hard to believe when she wants to go Meryl Streep with smoke coming out of her ears. But I would just like to say that I'm a thankful husband, a lucky man, and it's great and wonderful to have her in my life.
Boy, that's amazing, Jeff. Congratulations. 16 years of marriage. What a happy marriage it has been. I can attest to that, seeing it myself. Beautiful family. So congratulations to you. Hope you all enjoy your weekend celebrating that. Thanks for letting us know about that, sharing it with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. And we will let you go to enjoy that time and look forward to speaking to you soon.
Got to keep the main thing, sir. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
30 minutes on the nose. 3-0, 3-0 exactly. We hung up with Jeff on that. It's been that kind of run here, though, lately. It's been a lot of recruiting talk out there, and you got to cover it all. And there's certainly, you know, some of this doesn't come just nice and clean and neat. You're going to debate some of it. I think it's really, really interesting. One more point on Zachary Evans, who Jeff was talking about. You know, here's the one thing that I have to admit that I would say. As I said before, I'm kind of okay with either of these scenarios as long as it's one of these scenarios. I'm okay with Georgia going down the road with Evans and ultimately winning that commitment. That'd be a huge win. At that point in time, I guess I'd probably have to shake Tank Bixby's hand and wish him well where he does go. I'd also be okay if Evans decides he wants to stay in the Lone Star State and Georgia is able to pair a guy like Tank Bixby with Kendall Milton, assuming that obviously Georgia gets the Milton commitment on Monday. We've heard Milton rave about Tank Bixby. I'm okay with that being kind of a Jordan Pippen type combination here for these, this UGA program. I'm sort of okay with either one of those scenarios. I'd obviously be devastated. I think fans should be as well if the pursuit of one disqualified you eventually from the other. But I'm going to assume that Kirby Smart, Del McGee, and this Georgia coaching staff knows what they're doing. The one thing I will say, though, and this is just my feeling and you may feel differently. Let's say that something wild happened this weekend and Evans, much the same scenario I described a moment ago with Keely Ringo. Let's just say that the vibe is so strong for him this week that he actually pulls a trigger on a commitment to Georgia. I'm not quite sure how I even feel about that. First of all, that's partially because I think that Kendall Milton has earned the right to be the first running back to commit to Georgia from this 2020 class, if that's indeed what he wants to do. And secondly, you know, I'm not sure, just given the fact that he's going to go back to Houston, he's going to hear a bunch of stuff from those in-state programs, maybe especially Jimbo Fisher, who I'm guessing is going to stay really, really strong on this. I'm not even so sure how great I'd feel about the future of this contested recruitment, even if Evans were to commit this weekend. But it's going to be a fun thing to watch, and I really am fascinated. Can't wait to see about where it all goes. Obviously, we'll talk about that here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. By the way, let me also tell you about this as well. As the month of July kind of gets ready to come to an end, don't forget it's Christmas in July there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. That means it's time to save big on the South's most magical holiday tradition. You probably heard a lot about Fantasy and Lights. Maybe you've even been before and enjoyed that. Well, here's what you need to know. Right now is your time to get those tickets for the upcoming Fantasy and Lights at the discount of the year, the biggest discount of the year. But you got to go now and take advantage of that, because just like Christmas, it's going to be gone here pretty soon. So go to CallawayGardens.com to get yours today. The website, once again, CallawayGardens.com to get yours today. Let me do this for the SEC through here for a moment. Been really interested in seeing some of the things that have been written about online lately about some of the quarterbacks that Georgia's going to be facing this season. Guaranteed to face in some respects, could be facing in other respects. First of all, Sports Illustrated had an interesting piece recently about dark horse contenders for the Heisman Trophy, and one of the names that came up was Texas A&M's Kellen Mond. And one of the things that gets mentioned in this piece from Sports Illustrated, and I forget who the writer of it was, I apologize, but it was at SI.com, is that Mond at SEC Media Days said he was the best quarterback in the SEC. And some of you had kind of shared that with me. Sometimes that kind of stuff as a headline doesn't read all that well. But honestly, if you ask a guy, hey, do you think you're the best? What's he supposed to say? No, I think Jake Fromm is better than me. You know, that's not typically what people are going to say. But Mond's clearly got some confidence, had a pretty good year a year ago, and the other thing I think really matters here in terms of developing and working with quarterbacks, the SEC coach that I think is proven to have done that is Jimbo Fisher. A lot of people will say, well, no, it's Dan Mullen. Dan Mullen developed Dak Prescott. You know, when you look at the overall resume of guys that Mullen has developed compared to the number of first-round picks that Jimbo Fisher has produced. Now, a lot of these guys, when they get to the NFL, they haven't always done great. But that's not Fisher's problem, I don't think. But in terms of putting guys in the NFL, as an offensive coordinator at LSU, as a coach in waiting at Florida State, as a head coach at Florida State, Jimbo Fisher's done a really good job there. And in terms of Kellen Mond being a dark horse candidate for the Heisman Trophy, I would probably say that's probably not going to happen. If I had to guess, I'd say that's not going to happen. But come November, does the Georgia defense have a pretty stiff challenge in defending against Mond there that day, having had almost another full year by that point in time to work in Jimbo's offense and get acclimated to what he wants him to do? Yeah, I think that's a pretty tough challenge for the Georgia defense. I mean, there's a lot of off-season chatter right now about this kind of being the, quote, I'm going to use air quotes here, year of the quarterback in the SEC. For a long time, this was thought of as a defensive league, and sometimes maybe that caused the quarterback play to suffer. But there are a lot of, at least, proven good quarterbacks in this league. In some cases, guys kind of on the rise in this league, potentially. There's a lot of quarterback talent in the league right now, and it's for the Georgia defense this season. It at least poses an additional problem in terms of how you're going to deal with all that. Another example of this is Jarrett Garantano, the Tennessee quarterback. Now, one of our producers, Connor Riley, likes to rib me from time to time because I've somewhat touted Garantano during this offseason. I do think he's better, for instance, than Felipe Franks, a guy that, for whatever reason, seems to get more national attention. I think Garantano's the superior player. I might even take Garantano over Bentley, the South Carolina quarterback, as well. I might even do that. Well, David Hale, ESPN writer, recently kind of compared Garantano's numbers a year ago to Justin Herbert, the Oregon quarterback, who has been talked about as a first-round pick and kind of came back this year and gets a lot of accolades. One of the reasons why Oregon's one of those dark horse playoff contenders potentially is because of Herbert. David Hale recently had an interesting comparison looking at Garantano a year ago in comparison to Herbert, especially given the fact that Tennessee just did not have a very good running game a season ago, which sometimes makes it a little bit more difficult to evaluate Garantano. I don't think Tennessee is good enough to beat Georgia, but I think Garantano as a quarterback is good enough to at least challenge the Georgia defense. Spend a busy week in practice getting ready for what he might bring to the table. I think there's an example of that. And then finally, the other quarterback I wanted to mention here in this regard, Bill Conley, now writing for ESPN.com, wrote this week about the chances that Tua Tagovailoa might be able to one day, this season maybe, for a full year, finish the year as a 200 passer rating quarterback. Almost did it a year ago. I won't even pretend to know how passer rating is tabulated. That's kind of a mathematical thing that's kind of over my head. I didn't realize this, that Tua was at 200 until the national championship game. It was really the Georgia game in the SEC championship, the national championship game, that kept him from getting there. He was through the roof against Oklahoma, at least from a passer rating standpoint. I know that game got a little sloppy there at the end. And that's a quarterback that Georgia could eventually match up with in the SEC championship, if not the college football playoff. So, ultimately, I think this is a Georgia defense this year that's going to be much more dynamic and, just frankly, better in a lot of areas than it has been the last couple of years. But as it improves, it's also probably fair to say the quarterback play around the SEC is also improving, too. And there are a few examples in the Georgia schedule this year, even names I didn't mention probably, where the quarterback on the other side of the field, that might pose an interesting challenge, and it's one of the things that should make this upcoming season more fun as we watch Georgia handle those challenges week in and week out. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, let's go ahead and do our Kroger kickoff for a moment and take a look at the big events upcoming for Georgia football. And the good news is we've been kind of counting some of this stuff down for a while, and that countdown gets a lot shorter as these weeks continue to tick off. Let me first of all give you this. July 29th, that's Monday. That's a big date to know as far as your Kroger kickoff for this weekend goes. That's when Kendall Milton makes his announcement. You heard Jeff Sintel talking about that a moment ago. Y'all pay close attention to that for Monday night. We'll see how that works out. Also, next week at some point in time, Georgia's going to have its first practice, going to get rolling there. And from that point in time, the business is going to really pick up for the Georgia Bulldogs. For the most part, the start of practice is kind of a media thing, but the good news for the fans is you just get a lot more insight on the team because there's some observations that can be gained. There's some player quotes and Kirby Smart quotes that will come out. The overall just energy about the countdown to the rest of the season certainly intensifies once practice starts. And then, of course, it all looks ahead to August 31st in Nashville against the Vanderbilt Commodores with that season kickoff. Many have asked you about what we'll be planning on doing for Dog Nation Daily there that week in Nashville. We'll be telling you more about that as we get a little closer, as those planning stages are still kind of ongoing. But one way for sure, it's going to be a lot of fun once that weekend arrives. By the way, speaking of the weekend, you know, we around here think about kicking off the weekend with our Kroger kickoff, but also for the things you have going on in your house, whether it be the pool parties or the backyard stuff, kid stuff, you know, all of that you can get at your local Kroger, and I hope you will check that out, including right now, great back-to-school deals at Kroger. They've got everything you need, school supplies, items to pack for lunches, and everything in between. You can start saving today with school right around the Kroger at your local Kroger. I know my family's already been taking advantage of some of the great deals they've had going on there. You fill up those shopping carts with all that school supply stuff and lunch stuff. It's all there for you at your local Kroger, and I hope you will take advantage of that as well. All right, it is an exciting time here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, as on this particular Friday, I'm proud to say that the Gator Hater Updater has reached 1,000 days. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. Now, for those people who've kind of lived through some rough years in this Georgia-Florida rivalry, the fact this number is now at 1,000 days, I think that probably feels really good to many people. They understand the perspective of what this is all about. And I think it's only appropriate on a day like this to send some thank yous out to those who've really contributed. First of all, huge thanks to Dan Mullen for just being a goofball and completely incapable on the recruiting trail. It's really that lack of effort from him that makes all this possible. Jim McElwain before him, his ineptitude as a coach. McElwain's shark that kind of helped push him out the door. We couldn't have got here without all of you, and thanks for making 1,000 days possible. We'll see you Monday back here on Dog Nation Daily.